Well, I'm not going to go into any areas of advising people what to do. And the whole cryptocurrency arena is not something that I've researched in great detail. I don't like talking about things I've not researched in great detail. I think that's an insult to the audience. But what I will say is that this great phrase, necessity is the mother of invention, has come to mind so many times in this last 2 years, because the human mind, the human heart, has such ability to tap into creativity, to see other ways of doing things, that dependency, not just, funnily enough, financial dependency on the system, but perceptual dependency has stopped happening. I'll give you an example. I've spoken at the Oxford Union a few times, not for a long time, but for a few times, the debating society at Oxford University. And you turn up and they give you a bit of a meal beforehand at a local hotel, and you go and debate. And there were some students sitting around the table while I'm sipping my soup. And there was one kid, he was only a teenager, and he could not comprehend any society that was not hierarchical in nature. Couldn't comprehend it. I can't see how it could be done without hierarchy and all that stuff. And what he had was perceptual dependency on the system. It had programmed him, and so many people are, programmed him to believe that the system's way and the system's structure is the only way it can be done. And what's happening now, as people's ability to operate in the system becomes challenged, they're having to look at other ways of doing things. And this is starting, it's only starting, but it can grow very fast. It's starting to trigger this innate, untapped, locked away creativity and ingenuity that humans have in abundance. And so we can take this creative destruction, and we can take it in another direction if we choose. And I'm absolutely, and always have been, a supporter of devolution of power to communities, to the individual. I'm not talking about devolution to Scotland and Wales, that kind of devolution. I mean devolution of power to the individual and to the community. So the community decides what happens in the community. The individual decides what happens in the individual's life, and therefore has freedom of choice to go where they want to go, rather than a top-down hierarchy telling them where they're going to go. This end of this structure, while they want to put an even more tyrannical structure in place, in this state of flux at the moment, we can intervene as a human race, or large numbers of us, and take this in another direction. But to do that, we've got to free ourselves of this perceptual dependency on the system, in that we see the system, well, the system's falling down. Yeah, mate, that's the system that put you in a hovel. That's the system that has screwed you all your life. That's the system that stopped your children going to bed without being hungry. This system needs to go. What it doesn't need to do is be replaced by the Great Bloody Reset, which is even more tyrannical than this one. So we have an opportunity here to take it in another direction. And, you know, people, once they free themselves from this perceptual dependency on the system and say, well, hold on a minute. Are there other ways of living our lives? Are there other ways of doing things? Oh, my God, there are. And the more that you can give power to individuals and power to communities, the better, because it's a simple equation. I've talked about this so many times. If the few are going to control the many, they can only do it in two ways. Controlling the perceptions of the many so that the many behave as the few want. And two, they have to centralize decision making. Otherwise, they can't control. So what has happened? We started off in, and this goes back a very long time. What's happening now is just the end game. We started off in tribes, and in humans anyway, and the tribes decided what happened in the tribe. Then we had this amalgamation of many, many tribes in different parts of the world called nations. Now a few people at the middle of the nation, the top of the nation, are dictating to all the former tribes. Then in the European Union, the nations start getting pulled together. Now they're being dictated to by a few in Brussels, mostly unelected, in fact, overwhelmingly, almost entirely unelected. Then you had this phenomenon called globalization. And globalization is what? It's the centralization of global power in every area of our lives. So what's happened at each stage of this process is fewer and fewer people have had more and more power over more and more people. This is how the few have taken the world over, through this centralized global hierarchy. Now, people say, what's the solution? Well, my view is I'm not interested in solutions, because solutions invariably lead to more problems, which require more solutions. What I'm interested in is removing the cause of the bloody problem. And so if you've got a problem and you remove the cause, problem's gone. Has to, because the problem is just an expression of the cause. Take the cause away, gone. Got me fingers in hot water. What's remove the cause? I take it out. Oh, thank you. That's it. Don't, you know, it's not, you don't stay in there. Say, well, can you turn it down a bit? I mean, no, you stick your finger out. You remove the cause of the problem. So if the cause of the problem is centralization of global power, which it has to be for the few to control the many globally, it's what the world government's about, and the world army and the, you know, world central bank that they're planning, then you take away centralization of power and you give power to individuals and communities. And your bigger organizational level globally is not there to dictate to, it's there to coordinate between, to coordinate cooperation between sovereign communities, sovereign individuals, not top-down dictatorship. The only way the few can control the many, the only way this cult has been able to take over the world, is top-down hierarchical structures of power. And this is how easy it is. Talk about remove the cause of the problem. Let's go to the real big level of removing the cause of the problem. How do the few control the many? By the acquiescence of the many. And it works like this. You've got a pyramid, a hierarchy. These hierarchies operate nationally and they operate globally and they interconnect into a global web. So at the top of the pyramid, you've got the inner core of this cult that's driving this global agenda. That's behind the COVID hoax, that's behind the global warming, human-caused global warming hoax, it's behind all these things, behind the economic system. And these few, and the few of the few are the center of the core, you get into one room, like I said earlier, imposes its will, i.e. its agenda, on the next level, which acquiesces to them and imposes it on the next level, which acquiesces to them and imposes it on the next level. And soon after you get down from that pyramid peak, you're meeting levels of this hierarchy, national and international, that have no idea there is a cult, that has no idea, most of them, there is an agenda and it's all coordinated. But the same process continues. Imposition, acquiescence, imposition, acquiescence, all the way down, imposition, acquiescence, down the hierarchy, until you reach the mass of the population at the bottom of the pyramid symbolically. And if we acquiesce to that level of this cult hierarchy that is imposing it upon us, i.e. government agencies, law enforcement, etc., then we complete a circuit, a devastating circuit for humanity, between the few at the top of the pyramid and the global population. And when we complete that circuit of acquiescence, the few, the agenda of the few in that single room is imposed upon the world. And that's what's happened in the COVID era. And so if we come back to the principle of don't look for solutions, look for the cause and take the cause away, the only way that those few in that room can impose their will on the global population, we have seen it in the last 2 years so obviously, is by the global population acquiescing to the hierarchy, irrespective of whether it makes sense, irrespective of the effect on other people, irrespective of the deletion of freedom that it involves. You do it because the hierarchy above you, in your perception above you, not really, tells you to do it. And even if you don't want to do it, you do it because you're frightened of the consequences of not doing it. And there's, we're back to these two groups that have allowed every tyranny in history to be imposed. And we need to move to this group, what I call renegade minds.
Question everything.
Yeah, that's why I call my latest book Perceptions of a Renegade Mind. What is a renegade mind? Actually, it's a renegade heart as well. You see, a renegade mind is different from a critically thinking mind. A critically thinking mind can be part of this group that sees what's going on and doesn't want to do it, but is too frightened of not doing it. There's loads of critically thinking minds that just put their face nappies on and away they go. A renegade mind is different. It critically thinks and it sees it, and then it says, I'm not cooperating with it. I'm not doing it. And one of the things that this cult and its operatives are terrified of, and this is certainly part of what's happened in England, part of it. I think it's multi-leveled why this is going on at the moment, but this is part of it. What they're terrified of is saying, this is going to happen. We've had a discussion. And enough of the population say, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Because we shouldn't need reminding of it. But what that does is remind people of a simple fact, where the power really is. And so when people in enough numbers say we're not doing it, and therefore it can't happen because it's unenforceable, people go, they don't have power, do they? We have it. Yes. The power that authority imposes upon us is simply the power we've given to the authority in the form of acquiescence. It's simple as that. And I'll give you a great example. During the Margaret Thatcher era, when she was the impregnable Iron Lady, oh no, Margaret Thatcher, all powerful, she came out with something called the poll tax. And this was a deeply unfair tax. It meant people of different incomes had to pay the same, in effect. And it affected, and this is an important point, it affected what we call the middle class, and it absolutely affected what we call the working class in this country. Middle class in Britain is different to the middle class in some ways in America. But these two groups, well, it affects the working class. It's nothing to do with me. Oh, that affects the middle class. It's nothing to do with me. It's divide and rule. Right. It's not my problem. That's the big thing. Well, actually, it probably is your problem because it's all our problem because the gun sights are on all of us. And so this poll tax united those two groups because it affected them both. And vast numbers of people in Britain refused to pay. I was one of them. Refused to pay the poll tax. And I was actually in court in Newport, Isle of Wight, when the first cases came up for non-payment. And what happened that day, when the case was thrown out because of a clerical error, made the poll tax such a bloody laughing stock, it never recovered. But where I'm going with this is the impregnable Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, was exposed. And it weren't that long before she was out. She was exposed as not having any power at all without the acquiescence of the acquiescence of the people. Because the people said, we're not having the poll tax. And what happened? She had to change it. She had to change it. And this is a really important point, I hope comes out of this COVID thing. You'll notice that when something is happening that people don't like, and the political parties, because we live in one-party states all over the place. I mean, Britain's a classic one-party state, so is America. The illusion of choice is ridiculous. Then people say, what we need is another political party. No, well, actually, we don't. Actually, we don't. What we need is the political system to be controlled by the people and not controlled by the hierarchy of the political system. Thus, the political system has to respond to us, not the other way around. And the way we do that is we don't acquiesce just because authority tells us to do something. We say to authority, okay, you tell us to do this, give us the evidence, and tell us why we should, and if it makes sense, we'll consider it. But we're not doing it just because you tell us to do it. So, for instance, wear a mask. Wear a mask, it'll protect you from COVID. Okay, well, let's just accept, for want of example, and it's only for want of an example, that there is a virus. Viral particles are so minute you can only see them under an electron microscope. Nowhere else. All these pictures of COVID, they're all computer-generated images. And so they're much smaller than the holes in masks. The CDC in America has just admitted it. After all this time, cloth masks are useless. Right? So why have you been telling people to wear them? And enforcing it, you claim by law. So it's what a renegade mind would do is say, okay, you want me to wear a face nappy? Okay. Well, you've got to persuade me to do that. And I'm going to do my own research and I'm going to find out if it makes sense. Actually, it doesn't. Have you seen all these papers? Not only saying they're bloody useless, but all the psychological and health effects of breathing back in carbon dioxide and all the gathering bacteria in the mask and all that stuff. Have you seen that? Right. Well, I have. So you can stick your bloody mask where the sun don't shine, darling, because I'm not wearing one. And well, social distancing. Well, okay, well, you've got to explain to me why that helps and why someone from a government advisory organization said that the 6-foot social distancing was pulled out of bloody nowhere based on no science, but actually based on psychology, just like the masks are all about psychology. All right, so I'm not social distancing, then I never have. People want to, you know, keel off either side of me. Well, that's fair enough, that's their choice. But I'm not frightened of them, so I'm not going to social distance. You get away from me if you want. So you're basically imposing your own sovereignty and not asking for permission to do so by saying, I'm going to decide if what you're telling me to do makes sense, and if it's to do with control and not any other benefit, then I ain't doing it. And if people only would do that, you know, you go into shops and they're all got masks on and you haven't got a mask on, and then the people will look at you and they'll start taking their bloody mask off because someone's done it. They think, well, I'm not the only one. I'll do it. You know, in the end, when people say, the power of authority, the power of authority is only the perception of the power of authority. It's a psychological trick. It has no power if we don't give it to them. And that's, I hope, will be one of the greatest lessons of this period. That if you give your power away, it will be recycled back against you in the form of tyranny. If you don't give it away, the tyrants have no power. When that penny drops, then the age of the tyrant will be over.
And it starts by every choice they make in their life, the social distancing, the masks, obviously the vaccines, even the consumption of information. That's where that renegade mind starts.
Yeah, well, the renegade mind says that, people like to be streetwise, or seem to be streetwise. So they say, you never believe what politicians tell you. So why are you doing what they're telling you and believing what they're telling you about bloody COVID then? And they go, never believe what the media tell you. So why are you believing it? What a renegade mind says is politicians lie, the media lies. So what I'm going to do is take it from the base foundation point of receiving that information that those politicians, that government, and this media are lying to me. Not they're telling me the truth and I'll research to see if they're not. They're not telling me the truth is the bottom line, and then we'll see if on the rare occasion here and there, they're actually telling the truth. But my first reaction is, you're lying to me. That's just taken as read. So when you watch the BBC, which is a disgusting organization now, it was always, a semi-government department in a way, but it's now completely absorbed into the system. It's a cult-controlled organization.
Propaganda.
It's total propaganda. But then the media in general is, even more than ever before. It's in the COVID period, the media has been totally and utterly co-opted worldwide by this cult. And most of the idiots won't even know there is a cult. They'll just be doing what they're told. Otherwise, they're out of their ear, and they don't have self-respect to actually say, well, I'm sorry, I'm telling the truth, and if you won't let me, I'm out of here. So if we take it as read that the mainstream media is lying to us, then we say, well, let's see if I can find other sources of information that maybe are more credible. And then you go looking. And if you don't, and only get your information from the mainstream media, then your perceptions are going to be downloaded from monumental genetic liars, whether they're politicians, authority, or media. And that's what so many of these people that just nod, because you'll notice this. You'll hear people, they'll say, I'll tell you what I think's going on, and then what comes out of their mouth is the government media narrative word for bloody word. And you think, well, what do you mean? What you think is going on? You're just repeating what you've downloaded. And I've mentioned something there that is so crucial in all this, and crucial in where we go from here. self-respect. Self-respect has ended every tyranny in history. Because it's self-respect that says, as we are discussing, I'm not doing it. I'm not cooperating with my own enslavement and the enslavement of my kids. You know why? My self-respect won't allow it. And because self-respect has that attitude, that's why it's brought down every tyranny in history. And, you know, I watch people, I observe people a lot, and I've seen so many people completely concede their self-respect in this period. And once your self-respect has gone, only submission remains. I'll give you an example. I've watched big blokes walk to a cafe or restaurant door, put their face nappy on, walk three strides to a table, sit down and take it off. And then I've watched them put their nappy back on, walk back to the door, go through the door, take it off. And what difference has that made? None. Why have you done it? Well, it's the law. Yeah. Nonsensical law makes no sense. So for you to acquiesce to that nonsensical law, you've conceded your self-respect. And this is an interesting point, Brian. Throughout, you know, my life, I, you know, observed politicians and stuff like that and people in authority. And there have always been, you know, moronic people and clueless people and all that stuff, of course. But in the key positions of power, and this is no accident, I explain in Renegade Mind how this was done. There are more morons in power, official power, not real power, around the world than ever before. You look at the premiers of the states of Australia. You have to be a moron and pass a moron test to stand for office for premier. Do you see that one the other day? That premier for Western Australia, he's got an indigenous lady sitting next to him as he tells the indigenous population in English that they should have the jab. And she's translating what he's saying in English in bloody English. What? He's speaking in English. And she's translating in English. This man is Premier of Western Australia. Morons. You look at the chief medical officers of Australia, somebody called Kerry Chant in New South Wales, how she functions from getting up to going to bed. I have no idea. It is a complete mystery to me. You look at Biden. He doesn't even know what his name is. He's now president of the United States. That's just taking the piss. That's trying to break the spirit of America by putting a obviously moronic man in power over an entire nation. They're trying to get your self-respect. Then you look around the world at these other different people, and they're these morons. Why are there so many morons in power? And the second question is, why are these morons spent 2 years telling us to do moronic things, like put your face nappy on to walk three strides, sit at your table, and you can take it off? Because they're after our self-respect. It's all psychology. The whole COVID period has been a war on the human psyche and a war on the human spirit. And what the psychology of this is meant to do is this. They want you to see that these people are morons. They want you to see it. They want you to see that what the morons are telling you to do is moronic. Because if you then do it, they got you. They've got your self-respect, and all that remains is submission. And that's why it's so important not to have our spirit broken, but to call a moron a moron and a moronic instruction, and say, if I do moronic things told to me to do by a moron, I become a moron. I am not a moron. I am not having it. And then you say this,